Good morning, church family. Did you guys have a good week? Nobody had a good week. Okay. We're going to be in prayer time praying for a better week for next week. It has gotten cold on us, but the warmth in here is something that I've come to thoroughly enjoy. So, I guess we'll get started. Are there any birthdays or anniversaries today? All right. Are there any announcements that anybody would like to share that are not in the bulletin? Because I always forget those. I'm 0 for 2. Let's try this one. It says, please stay for a meeting of the congregation following worship today to include the IRS requirements into the bylaws. So it shouldn't take long. I'm sure Anne will have us in and out as quickly as possible because I know how much she loves our IRS requirements and our bylaws. The youth group will meet and continue to meet on Wednesday. We had a great time. We put a puzzle together in record time. It might still be out there as one of the place settings, so you can check that out. The women's group hopes to purchase gifts for at least 4 children from Angel Tree at Mechanicsburg Christian. Can you help with any cash donations? So do consider that. And then lastly, all women of the church are invited to the women's group holiday supper November 29th at Ann's house at 6 p.m., co-hosted by Georgia. Other than that, let us kind of get our hearts and our minds ready as Joan plays the prelude for us this morning. If you please open your bulletins and join me in our call to worship. Mighty God, you welcome us into your kingdom as honored guests. Merciful God, you welcome us even though we are sinners. Wondrous God, we have come here to give you our worship and praise. If you're like me, a joyful noise is all you're going to get. So if you'll stand, we'll sing, Come Ye Thankful People, Come, first and last verse on Gray 559. Gray 559. First and last verse. Let us pray. Oh God, you are our God, the one in whom we trust. We've gathered together today to worship you, to open our hearts and minds to your presence. We long to meet you here and to hear your voice. We come with confidence because we've met you here before. We come with gratitude because we've known your steadfast love. And so we praise you, lifting our voices, lifting our hands in joy and expectation. Come among us in your power. Pour out your spirit on our thirsty souls that we may be filled with your goodness and love. Amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. It says, this is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Our confession this morning. O God, our world seems in such a mess. Greed triumphs over generosity. Death appears stronger than life. People judge one another harshly. Sin abounds and grace recedes far away. Forgive us, O God, when we succumb to the forces of sin, greed, judgment, and death. When we act as if you are not here with us, when we fail to do the things we should, welcome all people with love and joy. Live in an attitude of abundance. Find ways to support your work in the world. Like the woman with the alabaster jar, may we lay all that we are and all that we have at your feet. Trusting in your forgiving, steadfast love. Our words of assurance. When our hearts are weary, troubled, or weighed down, we cry to you in prayer, knowing that you hear us, and hearing will answer in your time. Bring healing, wholeness, and peace. You raise us up from the place that we have fallen and put our feet on firmer ground, that we might walk in confidence with you. Such love, such patience. To you alone we bring our thanks. Thank you, Lord. Our next hymn, Jesus, We Just Want to Thank You, on Gray 98.
Gray 98.
this time of offering, I just want you to think about the hymn that we just sang together. There really is no better way to show our appreciation or our gratitude than to give back to the Lord. Offering is a time to thank God. It's a time to praise God. It's a time to tell God that we love him, and it's a time to serve our risen Savior, and it's a time to serve the God that gives us and provides for us in our sustenance. We're grateful for this opportunity to open our hearts, whether that be through serving, whether that be through giving, in this time of offering with God. So I just ask that you open your heart and mind and to see what God is calling you to give today. Father God, we just ask your blessing over this time of offering and the hearts that have given unto you, whether that be monetarily, whether that be of their time in service to go out and to do as the Bible teaches and to take care of the widows and the orphans and the distribution for those in need. So bless our hearts, bless our minds, and just allow us to continue to give to you as you urge us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. I got my regulars up here today. Nice to see you. Did you guys have a good week?
Yeah.
Did you get in any trouble? No? Not that you're willing to share? Yeah. We did already have confession this morning, so I guess it's not the right time. Last week, I asked you guys to tell me what you were thankful for. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
What'd you guys tell me? Toys, things like that, right? Toys. This week, I want you to tell me who you're thankful for. It's okay if you like one of your parents more. I promise you, you're not going to get in trouble. But I want to go around. It could be a friend. It could be anybody here. Give me your hand. Let's sit still as much as possible. I'm pretty giving guy when it comes to how we act and behave, especially with kids, because I wish I could go back and have fun like you guys. But you got to give me at least one person that you're thankful for, okay? And you got to tell me one reason why.
My little sister, because she's fun to play with.
Okay. How about you?
My brother's very handsome, and I really like to play with him.
All right. Brownie points for the two of you, I suppose. Aiden, what do you got?
I'm thankful for Noah because he likes me and he's my cousin.
Okay. How about you?
Mom and Dad.
All right. Well played, sister. I like your style. Christmas presents are going to be coming in. You didn't hurt yourself there, so I can admire that. You know, but the admiration of children and what they're thankful for shows us the heart that God intended us to have. The world sometimes gets in our way, and it makes us forget about what's important. And it might be the love of siblings, as we can tell. It might be the love of friends, and it might be the love of our parents. But I want you guys to know that you're very blessed. You have a lot of people that love you. We're almost done. Relax. And in this month, we're going to continue to give thanks for things. So I thank you guys for being brave and coming up here and taking the microphone and talking in front of everybody, because that's not always easy. Anybody want to pray? All right. She said, how about you pray, and you can pray silently or out loud. Ready? All right. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the children in this church. We thank you for the leaders who are instilling wisdom and understanding into them. We ask your special blessing over Sunday school and the youth group, and we just pray, Lord, that you allow us to raise these children in a way that they will not depart from you, and they understand your love, and they always give thanks to your son, Jesus, whose name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm sure George is ready for you, so we'll pray for peace and patience for her. And I'm grateful for whoever tightened my mic stand, because last week wasn't much fun. All right, so there's two types of Christians. Now, no one is allowed to take anything personal today, and I'm not picking out which side of the fence anybody falls on. There's a disclaimer taped under the seat of your pew I would like for you to sign, if you could, please, that you will not hold me accountable. But all joking aside, I think we need to understand why and how we're appreciative and how we relate to our brothers and sisters in Christ who come and worship with us. And now, here's the thing. You've got those, we'll call them churched. You got baby girls coming back. You have those who are churched, and you have those who are unchurched, okay? Now, for those of us who are churched, you guys were born and raised in the church, okay? As children, you were brought to church. Your parents taught you how to behave in the church, unless you were like me and I crawled under the probably got spanked by every one of the matriarchs of the church. I know we got a few others like that here. But you guys were raised in the house of God. It's familiar to you. You understand it. It's comforting. You come in here and you see the beauty. You see what all the people have built to honor God. And you have a deep sense of appreciation for it. You've not strayed into this life of sin that is just completely off the rails. You understand God. You understand judgment. You understand these things because it's what you know. It's a big part of your life. And you wouldn't miss, or you wouldn't dream of missing church regularly. It's a big part of how you come to worship, how you get strength for the week. But then there's those that God has rescued from a life of sin. We'll call them the unchurched. They're not familiar with the traditions. They're not familiar with the structure. And these people come in and they're intimidated. They don't understand what the stained glass represents and the pictures and the large, stained, beautiful wood and the people that took all the time to build these things to honor God. They don't know that. Maybe they were raised in the taverns. Maybe they grew up in things that were staples of sin in society. And they lived in so much sin that they can't even see past their mistakes. They have so much guilt built up inside them. And then they just feel like that square peg trying to fit into a round hole, all right? So what does that mean? What does that mean for the churched and the unchurched Christians who come together to worship God? You see, there are times when Christians, the church, we go through the motions, right? We go to church because it's what we do. We come in on Sunday because it's part of who we are. Sometimes the churched individuals feel entitled to hold on to the roles of serving God in the church. I don't want to let anybody new come in. And don't you dare sit in my seat, right? That's the age-old one that brings some laughter, but it's serious. I've really seen people upset and hurt because somebody has came in and sat in their seat. And sometimes you lose sight of the sin that is in your life. It may not be as glaring. It may not be as problematic, but it's still nonetheless there. Then you have the unchurched, and there are times that they forget they can't have it both ways. They can't go out into the world and live in a state of sin and then try to come into God's house and act like everything's okay. It's real easy for them to bounce back and forth. And sometimes their view then of church people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Sometimes their view of church people makes them think that they're empty or hollow or just going through the motions, when what is it? You care. You care about the house of God. You deeply want to protect God's house. It's something that means something to you because it's been such a staple of your life, all the way back to the time of children. And sometimes the unchurched, they act like their faith is of greater worth. Somehow it's more important to me because of what I've been through. When in reality, we're all united in the same way because we're called, no matter our background, to abound in thanksgiving for God because we are all rescued from a life of sin. That sin is a part of our life. We don't like it. We don't want it to be there. How great is God that he's rescued us through his son Jesus? So I'd like for us to say thank you, Jesus, together and be united in doing that. Can you guys do that with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for giving me hope. Thank you for allowing me to sit next to a churched, unchurched individual in love. Because is that not why Jesus Christ went to the cross? He did it in love for us. And he wants to teach us to be loving. Our first passage this morning in God's holy word comes out of the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in Luke 7. Luke chapter 7, if you want to take a minute and turn there. We're going to be in Luke 7, 36 through 50. This goes right along with what we've been talking about. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, these were the churched people of Jesus' time. Then we had the Gentile population, right? We know that the Gentiles were those that were outside of the faith. And here's an interaction with Jesus and the churched and the unchurched people of his time. So I want to pay close attention to this. Luke 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house, and he took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the anointment, with ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor, and here's Jesus, of course. He never gives you a direct answer. It's always in parable. There's always a discerning opportunity here that you got to look through. A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt for both of them. Now which one of them will love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see the woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. Thank goodness we don't have that practice, you know, within the church. So this is good. There's some positives. You do not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. It's interesting to note, Simon doubted Christ's ability to prophesy. You see, Jesus is this messianic fulfillment. He's the Messiah that the Israelite nation had been waiting for, but they don't really know it yet. That's why you always see his interactions with the disciples. Who are you, Lord? You are Jesus Christ. You are the Savior. So you have this Pharisee that doesn't quite yet understand who Jesus is. He's heard that he's a prophet, and he says, he opens himself up by, you're dining with a well-known sinner. Jesus, you should know who she is and then not allow her to dine in if you are truly a prophet. And then he says, but to the one to whom little is forgiven, loves little. As church people, myself included, I've got to be on both sides of the fence. It's easy for us sometimes to forget that although we may not have strayed or sinned profusely, to show the love of Jesus to those who have. I've been in multiple churches, and I've seen it to where it's difficult sometimes to allow those who are really kind of new to the faith, who are overwhelmed, who are bringing their guilt in that they're trying to get rid of. They're trying to alleviate that pain, that understanding, their waywardness. It's hard sometimes for us to be gracious. So to all my church people, I just want to say, don't ever forget to love. Because that's what we've seen in this sinful woman. Imagine her knelt down and her tears are so vast and so abundant that she's able to wash Jesus' feet with them. That's a person who is grateful to alleviate that pain and that guilt and that shame, right? That's a person restored by God's grace. And then to those who maybe are on the unchurched side, don't ever lose sight of the forgiveness and the gift that we've been given, again, through God's grace. Because as we're about to see, Jesus calls us in our next passage to abound in thanksgiving. Abound simply means in large amounts. We should be giving thanksgiving to God in abundance, not just Sunday morning, not just on rare occasions when we meet people. It should be a major part of our experience as we live as Christians in the kingdom of God. So my question, does your life show a deep state of gratitude for what God has done for you? When was the last time you stopped and thanked God for your life, for your health, and for his saving grace in Jesus? So again, I want to do it together. I want to thank God together. Thank you, God. Thank you for restoring us. Thank you for giving us hope. Thank you for bringing us to this understanding of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Let's go to our final passage in Colossians 2. Give you guys a moment to turn there. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 14. Jesus tells us to abound in thanksgiving. Verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him as and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in what? Thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through their philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. How many detailed, policy-oriented people do I have in here this morning that just really try their best to stick to the letters of the law? You don't even have to raise your hands. I can see by the look on your face who you are. God's Ten Commandments that were given to Moses and then Aaron, those were things that if we broke, we were punished by death and eternal damnation. Thank God, literally, that he does not hold us to the letter of his law, because Jesus Christ fulfilled that in what? In love. In and through love. So just remember, as you deal with church people, unchurched church, as you deal with people out in the world, as you adhere and hold to your policies, don't ever forget the simple word of grace. Sometimes we must be gracious because we remember that God has been gracious to us. Because God doesn't define us by our mistakes. That's what the world does. As someone who wrote the book on making mistakes, I stand before you today grateful for God's grace and that I am defined in his love. It says, when you were dead in your trespasses, it doesn't say clinging to life, it doesn't say on life support, it doesn't say almost dead, it's definitive, it's past tense. When you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses. That is the beautiful glory and majesty of God in our relationship with him. So here's the deal. If the world defines us by our trespasses and the church defines us by grace, then we are fortunate. And I want to give you an example. I have a customer who I've worked for multiple times, and I mean, we have hit every single one of her benchmarks. Everything has been perfect, from hanging heavy mirrors, to putting in new doors, to putting an entire organization system in the garage that had to be custom cut and fit in. We have hit those time and time and time again. And I was finishing up a job this week. The last thing that was thrown on us, we went into the bathroom. She's like, can you put this towel bar up for us? I was like, absolutely. No big deal. It's a towel bar, right? Well, the person that I gave instruction to do it hung it way too low and not where I asked. You would think that it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But what I got to learn is this person is very particular about their paint, who paints. Doesn't matter that I have years of painting and I can paint with the best of them. I wasn't allowed to touch it once the mistake was made, and then it had to be raised. And of course, you go to, if you're like me and you make a mistake, you're like, how do I fix this, right? Go downstairs. I know most people hold their paint in the basement if they have leftovers. I go down. Sure enough, there's a Sherwin-Williams gallon of paint that says bathroom on it. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. They're not home. I can go down. I can get this paint. I can put some spackle in it. Nobody ever even knows. Well, that was the previous color. So it just so happens that this was remodeled right before they bought it, and it's a new paint, and out of the 50 gallons of paint down there, guess which color I don't have? Phone call. All right. Don't touch anything. I'll be there shortly. You go in, you look, and the customer's literally like, the reason I have you put these things up is because I do that. I put stuff in the wrong place. I make the mistakes. I'm paying you to not do what I do. The irony in it, though, which it all worked itself out. Thank you, Lord. God is great. The irony in it is I hung 10 things for this customer perfectly. It's a good customer. I'm not trying to downgrade. Perfectly. We installed doors. I did repair work. The garage trim was bad. I mean, custom stuff. One tiny towel bar defines our entire relationship now, not the 50 other things that were successful. The world doesn't care about grace. It doesn't care about love. It doesn't care about thanksgiving. It cares about what you're doing for me in this moment. But God's not like that. Jesus definitely wasn't like that. He saw our sin. He saw our decay. He saw the way the world was going. He knew, for our policy-oriented people, that we failed. Sin 1, sin 2, sin 3, sin 4, all the way to 10. And I just see Jesus Christ standing there saying, God, just put me in. Let me go. Let me go save them. I know who you are. I know you can't change. I know that you're the Father and the Creator of the universe. And if you change, everything about you is now compromised, but I can do it. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? In this season of Thanksgiving, let us be thankful for Jesus Christ, and not just on Sunday mornings, not just a simple thank you. Let us abound in thanksgiving to our Savior. Then let us show grace and mercy and love, understanding that we're sinners saved by grace. So whether we're churched or unchurched, mistake prone or not, we are saved by God's grace. Let us pray. Almighty Father, I thank you for your words. I thank you for the opportunity to go in to an alive, vibrant dialogue and narrative of how you have made the universe, how you have saved the universe, and how you bring us to a place of understanding that we are sinful at times, but it doesn't define us. Your love defines us. Let us be thankful for that. Let us be thankful for your grace. Let us be thankful for your mercy. And let us understand that Jesus stepped into a place when we were dead, D-E-A, dead in our transgressions against you. And he brought us back to life. Now we have hope, and we stand before you humbled and in awe of your mercy. And I just ask you that if anybody ever wants to walk into this house or the churches across this country, across the world, that they're received with open arms as we understand that we're all sinners saved by grace. To that, we say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, our next hymn this morning is going to be, if I can find it, Count Your Blessings. That's a good one. Count Your Blessings, Gray 563. Count Your Blessings.
Surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
You all know this.
Careful, she'll make us start over. Verse 2. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fall, and you'll be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. You look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven, now your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Lift your standard high. Got a good C? You give us a grade of a C on that? All right, we're passing. We'll work on it. All right, we didn't necessarily have pastoral prayer last week because we had the candle lighting service. So, are there any prayer requests over the... I open my mouth and insert my foot because she actually did ask me ahead of time to pray for Jeremy. So, anybody else that we can lift up to the Lord today? Loss of young life is tragic in all forms, and it really hits us hard. So, Braden, do we know the friend's name? No. Okay, but we'll pray for Braden. Any praises? All right. Let's take these to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we're humbled in this time, as always, to hear these stories, to hear the sickness, to hear the losses of life, to just hear how the anxieties in our society can creep in and completely just shut us down and make us lose our productivity, make us lose our feelings of love and bring us to our knees. And sometimes that's where we need to be. So as a congregation right now, we're on our knees, Father, and we want to lift these matters up to you in prayer. We want to pray for Barb's daughter, Carla. We want to also lift up Dave, who is struggling with a little bit of foot pain. I ask you, God, to be in both of their lives in a profound way and give them the encouragement that they so desperately need right now. We specifically want to lift up all the doctors surrounding Carla as they work on the biopsy and just kind of understand, we'll try to understand what's going on here as maybe we have surgery or whatever. Whatever we need to do for corrective measures here, God, we know that you're good, and there's praise in that, that this has been discovered, and we just ask your continued involvement, and let us feel your presence as they navigate this time of uncertainty. We want to lift up Bill and Jim as they mourn the loss of Dolores, as the entire town of Iliopolis mourns the loss and all who knew her. Sometimes when we lose someone who we don't even know is sick or in tragic events, it is very hard for those left behind to process their grief. So I just want to pray that each person can grieve in a healthy way and just remember things about Dolores that make them smile and make them remember the person that she was, the person that was involved and active and just so vibrant within the community. We want to pray for all those who are losing their jobs, or whether it be for businesses closing or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of things right now that are causing people problems in their employment. And I just ask, God, that you be a blessing in that, and that you steer and lead and guide us to the path that we need to be on. That's collectively. And then we just want to lift up the Nunes family, as Jeremy's really been struggling with this illness. It has been a hard road. Every time they seem they overcome one of the hurdles, they get another one or five more put in their path. So I ask you, as the master physician, the great physician, to allow your presence to be felt in this family, and that Jeremy can recover, as he has young children and just needs the health and the stability brought back into their household. We also want to lift up Braden as he mourns the loss of a friend. Anytime young life is taken or lost, it really makes us question a lot of things. You're a great God, though, and you have our backs, and you've shown that, and we have the hope that is given through Jesus and his sacrifice for us. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. As the hymn says, we are so blessed. Let us stand and sing on Gray 564. It'll be our last hymn. We are so blessed. Gray 564. I would like to just say one more time together, thank you, God. Thank you, God. You may be seated, actually, because we have matters of business to attend to.
Yeah. All right, I want to bring this congregational meeting to order at 3:27 a.m. 10:27 a.m. Yeah, it's not 3. Yeah. I'd like to open with prayer. Dear loving God, you have seen to it that Buffalo Heart has survived all the disruptions of the past several years, from the loss of our longtime pastor, the inconsistencies in spiritual leadership, to the nearly overwhelming problems caused by a worldwide pandemic. Yet, here we are, moving in a positive direction. We owe it all to you, and thank you for your consistent love, guidance, and grace. Amen. Our one order of business today is to align our bylaws, in particular Article 3 property, with the requirements set forth by ECO to satisfy the IRS of our nonprofit status by adding additional language. The proposed changes were sent to members via email, and paper copies of the changes have been made available for the past several weeks. I would entertain a motion to accept the changes proposed to Article 3 property of our bylaws, February 2021 revision, to conform with requirements of the IRS to maintain our nonprofit status. John, thank you. Is there a second to the motion? John, I better put a John H and a John C, okay? Is there any discussion? It has been moved and seconded that with the proposed changes to our bylaws, Article 3 property, all in favor vote yes. All opposed vote no. Are there any abstentions? We currently have 78 members on our active roll. We have 22 faithful members present today. We have received 10 votes via email in the affirmative, and the vote has passed. The second item that I would like to address today concerns our pastoral leadership. The really good news is that on December 5th, during the worship service, Nick will be ordained as a deacon and commissioned to service as a certified lay pastor. We are excited to be part of this new journey that Nick is willing to take, because it's a journey for him. We want to encourage and support him. Neither the church that we left nor the church that we have joined will allow us to legally vote on a call for Nick. So instead today, I would like us to affirm Nick and his ministry by a loud vote of confidence. And the people said, amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we are so grateful for this congregation and its willingness to stay involved in the business side of being a church, but also for the life and vitality of each one who remains faithful. We are particularly grateful that you have sent us Nick and his family. Oh, dear God, help us to encourage him and keep moving forward to your glorious end. Amen. The meeting is adjourned. 10:31. Told you it'd be a short meeting. Thank you. Thank you.
just to be like, okay, we're married.